have peace that passes all understanding. I found a river where the healing waters flow. I found a joy that only comes from knowing Jesus. I found the lover of my soul. I found a peace that passes all understanding. I found a river where the healing waters flow. I found a joy that only comes from knowing Jesus. I found the love of my soul. Oh yes, I found a peace that passes all understanding. I found a river where the healing waters flow. I found a joy that only comes from knowing Jesus. I found the love of my soul. I found a peace that Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. How can I help all but praise Him for what He's done for me? He lifted me up.
Oh, yes, and he said, oh, me.
Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, I'm blessed. And I know that I am since Jesus took control of my life. Oh, I'm blessed. And I know that I am, for he promised me a new life. Oh, I'm blessed, for he walks with me and he's with me wherever I go. And if you happen to ask, how are you, my friend? Oh, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Oh, yes, I'm blessed. Oh, and I know that I am since Jesus took control of my life. Oh, I'm blessed. Oh, and I know that I am, for he promised for me a new life. Oh, I'm blessed, for he walks with me and he's with me wherever I go. Oh, and if you happen to ask, oh, how are you? Oh, yes, I'm blessed. I know that I am, since Jesus took control of me. you, Lord. Glory, praise glory, God. Glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
I'm glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. I'm glad your mercy.
Well, I'm glad that I'm giving my life to the Lord. I'm not sure if I'm totally His, but I am. That's my desire, is to be His, and to be able to sing that I'm Yours, Lord. Brother Daniel was down in Jacksonville one time. They sang this song about, what was it about? I'm Yours.
I'm Yours.
Yeah, everything I got, and everything that I am. That I'm not, you know. So I that's what my desire is. You know, I believe when we get into that place with God, then things in our life will work out. The shackles will fall off of us. Our problems will clear up. When we begin to become God, you know, we give our lives. And that's my desire, is to one day say, Lord, I'm Yours. I mean, I can say that today. You know, I speak a little English, so I can say that. But I want one day to be in that position of where I am His, and where I can live my life according to His will. And that's what we're striving. That's what I endeavor. I appreciate that, being a place where we can understand that. And I listened to Brother Smith this morning in Bible study. It reminds me of this scripture. And Ecclesiastes, it talks about there's nothing more bitter than the woman. You know, he was talking about the false church this morning, and whose hearts are snares, nets, and bands. You know what snares are? They catch things, and they don't get away. And nets, you know what nets are? They catch fish, and they can't get out. And bands that hold things. And I was thinking, and it said, whoso pleases the Lord shall escape. And I feel like I have escaped, but like you have loved ones. I have loved ones that are in these snares and nets and bands. They can't escape. But I was thinking, well, Lord, I don't want to have the attitude, I'm so glad I escaped, but I want to have the attitude that I want to help somebody else. I want to have an attitude that I want to consider your loved one and my loved one that are in these nets. That can't escape. But I know my prayer could be that, Lord, it said, whosoever pleases the Lord, pleases God. So I pray that they begin to look to God, you know, please God, begin to cry out to God. You see that when Jesus was walking on this earth, and when he was preaching the gospel, he had more trouble with the people that was caught in these nets and snares, and that's who gave him the most trouble. They couldn't accept what he was saying, because what he was saying was going against everything that they ever knew, how they was raised. What he was saying, you know, I'm the true vine. You know, you're the branches. You know, you got to abide in me. You know, you got to have you got to be seeking me. You know, you got to, and they never heard anybody talking like that. And they were trying to come against him, and he would say, I never heard a man talk like this. You know, they said, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you get him? And he said, no, nobody ever talked like this. So anyway, that's the Savior that we're serving, and that we are being taught and how to serve and live for God and give our lives so we can be a part of his group, a part of his church. And it's sad, you know, that people are not going to understand. You know, they're not gonna. When you start talking about, you know, you can try to be as nice as you can, not offend people, but you know, you still have to live your life and try to. Hopefully, they'll understand. Pray for them, you know, because I want to be helped. I want to try to change my attitude to where I'm just so excited and glad that I've escaped, but I want to try to help somebody else. I want to have a desire to help my brothers and sisters and good people, you know, that love God. You know, I'm sure you have loved ones that love God. You know, they're doing all that they know to do. And I want to have that understanding so I can understand how to talk to them, communicate with them. You know, because they love God. I talk to people all the time that love God. I believe they're sincere. And I want to, if I can help, I want to be a help to somebody, you know, to be able to help. You know, if you live for God long enough, somewhere you need to, you know, begin to think, Lord, you bless me. How can I bless somebody else? How can I be a light to somebody else that maybe they don't see this, having trouble seeing this, or whatever the problem is? You know, somebody just don't have a, don't understand. You know, and you know they don't understand. See, if I begin to realize I know this person, like Jesus said, Lord, forgive them because they don't understand. They don't understand what I'm saying. You know, that was his attitude. And that was Stephen's attitude. Lord, forgive them because they don't understand. So when you begin to talk to people and realize they don't understand, you can at least be merciful to them. You know, you can at least not be mean to them, you know. So I know they just, the Lord, that this light that I'm seeing, they just don't see it. So anyway, that's what I want to have. I want a heart that reaches out and to help other people. So we get reach out here today in prayer and worship here today. My heart goes out to people, and I want to have that kind of heart to be open and be willing to do what I can do. So let's thank the Lord today for His goodness and. For his good people, Brother Francisco, is it right? Francisco Midland, here with us today, and his cousin. Of course, his cousin Brian, and they had an accident. His dad, right, had an accident, and he's here to be with him. He fallen out of a tree stand, I believe, deer hunting. So anyway, pray for his dad. That God will touch him and help him. He's in the hospital here in Little Rock. So I know there's people here that we got deer hunters. This is a deer hunting state, so we know about that. Talk to people all the time. They say that's one of the, should be a, not a national holiday, but a state holiday. A deer hunt. But anyway, let's remember his dad. And then Brother Greg Beckwith. Good to have him. And God bless these people. Praise the God bless. I thought you had somebody else here with you. His daughter, okay. Hannah. Good to have her. Praise the Lord. All right. So God is good to us. We're blessed people. You know, to be able to hear what we hear and take part in what God is doing, be a part of this gospel. I want to be able to fit in with what the Lord is doing, because if you're seeing what, you know, because like I say, here was people listening. That Brother Smith was saying this morning, out of all the people that Jesus healed and set free from mental conditions, the man in the that they couldn't hold him, they couldn't chain him down or anything. He was just a wild man. And Jesus ran across him and set him free, healed him from his that condition he was in mentally. You know, he couldn't control himself. And he healed so many people and different things. People that couldn't see naturally, blinded, they healed them. Leprous, you know, it's kind of like today, I think, of cancer. As a leprosy, you know, and they maybe not as bad as leprosy, but I mean, back in that day, they, you know, when they had leprosy, it was like, you know, it was it, you know, there was nothing you can do about it. But he healed people that had leprosy, and he did a lot of things. But Brother Smith was pointing out that the people that was really seeing, understanding what he was there for, what his method, what his purpose, and his why he was there, it was 120, what he said, you know, that actually followed Jesus, you know, because they saw something. God revealed to them, you know, like he asked Peter, his disciples, who do men say that I am? You know, they said all kind of things about him. You know, he's Elijah, he's one or another prophet or whatever. But who do you say that I am? And that's what it has to be. You know, one day we have to know for ourselves. And those people saw who he was. Thou art the Christ, you know, the Savior of this world. You know, that he was coming, and he was talking about offenses. I was reading this; it touched me because it's a scripture in Psalm that says, that they that love his law, it's not like nothing shall offend them that love his law. Great peace have they. Thank you. Great peace have they that love his law, and nothing shall offend them. And Jesus was saying, you know, he was coming, and he said offenses must come. You know, but woe unto the people that, you know, do that, that offend. You know, it'd be better for a millstone to be cast. But anyway, he was saying that the people, you know, people, you're going to get offended. In other words, you're going to get offended. But it's a safety if you begin to love God's law. You know, if they that love his law, you know, great peace have they, and nothing shall offend him. I was thinking, well, he said fence is going to come, but then it says, you know, that nothing's going to offend us if we get in the right place with God's law. So I like to rationalize that, you know, be able to get that in perspective, you know, and we're going to have offenses, you know. And Peter, Jesus was talking, and they said one time he was really giving the lawyers and the scribes, you know, you know hypocrites and all that. And his disciples come to him and said, Jesus said, Lord, did you know that you offended them? You know, he did offend them. But anyway, I want to be able to love the Lord, love his law, what I'm hearing, the word that I'm hearing, be able to love it enough to where I can. And let it become a part of my life, and to where I can live that way accordingly. So anyway, let's remember these needs. We have people like Brother Brian's dad here. We need to pray for him, Sister Gayla. Your grandfather? Okay. All right. Remember that. Okay. Remember that request today. All right. Sister Shane.
Sister Keys.
Y'all hear that?
Brother Shane's. Shoulders really shoulder, having yes. Pain today. He needs remember, special prayer.
Remember Brother Shane. Pray for his shoulder. Brother Matt. All right. Okay. Remember the babies, the girls.
Brother pray Tally, we might mention that Brother Gaylor has got a job here, and so he'll be starting
Lord.
At the 1st of November.
1st of November, Brother Gaylor already has a
Brett
job.
Helped him to
thank God for that. Praise the
job.
Lord.
Anyway, he'll get to come home. Still driving the truck, but he's getting his foot in the door where he may, but he'll be home a lot more often.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. Sister Abraham. Okay, let's remember those requests, those needs today. Sister. Brother Crow. All right, let's remember that today. Pray for them. Sister Wilkin. Yes. All right. All right, remember, Sister Wilkins' grandson and her son, Philip, and Sister Rice. Keep praying for her that God will help her, touch her. Any other, Brother Mike?
Brother Philip back there has got one. My wife's hurt her shoulder.
All right. All right, Sister Cindy, pray for her. She hurt her shoulder. And who else? You said Philip?
Brother Philip back there has
got one. All right, see you, brother. All right, Brother Wade, Ray Weaver, and Sister Sue. All right, Brother Painter. All right, pray for that request. Yes.
I'm sorry. Two unspoken request. All right. Okay. Brother Troy Fleming, yeah, pray for him. Hey, Sister Errol, your mom, okay, remember Sister Perry. Go ahead, Sister Brenda. Yes. So, all right. It's okay. Let's remember that today. I called Brother Fleming. I talked to him, and he'd been sick, and he had real high blood pressure and bad headaches. But he felt like he was better the day I talked to him early in the week, and he thought he might be here today. So, anyway, let's remember. Pray for him. All right, Brother Francis. Yo. Grandma, okay. Remember her. Remember his grandma. Pray for her. All right. I know we have. Yes, sir.
I received an email from Eves Regala, which is one of the pastors that has several works in Haiti. And a precious young lady, 23 years old, that's really been faithful to him and in the church over there. He's got a church in Pettigouave, in Peytonville. And she was kidnapped yesterday, and they don't know where she is, but he's asking for prayer. He said he's really, she's 23 years old. 23. So let's remember that name.
This is a pastor?
Yes, Brother Eves Regala. He's a very faithful brother in the body.
All right, let's remember
sister
that.
Sister in his church.
Oh, Lord. All right, let's remember that need. Pray to God. God knows all about it, and let's pray that he'll be able to help them. All right. Any other requests? That's the, I guess the ushers, if you want to come by, we'll do the offering for the day. And let's stand and ask that God will help these needs, and help his people. Lord, we thank you for this day. God, we come before you this morning. Help our needs. Lord, help us in our hearts, Lord. Reach out to you, Lord. Need for your people, Lord. Need to request donors for you. Oh, hallelujah. We open it to you, Lord. Precious Savior, Lord. You know, trust you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
I was at the bank, and I was I cleaned the house for a lady, and I was going to make a deposit. And I was low on gas, too, but everybody knows I've been having financial problems, but it's okay. Slowly but surely, I started out in a hole trying to get a place and everything, and it's kind of put me behind financially, but I'm getting out of it. And but anyway, I was running low on gas and stuff, and I cleaned a house for a lady, and I had gone to clean her house, and I could have cashed that check that day at the bank, I think, but I didn't have a driver's license with me, so I didn't have an ID. And I thought, oh my goodness, so now what am I going to do? Well, I went by my work, and here the work, they were still open, and the lady was in the office, and I said, can I borrow $10? Oh, y'all, I was so embarrassed. I was really embarrassed. But I knew I had already worked that week, and I was getting paid the 15th, so I didn't really feel like I was begging for money or anything. So I knew that I had already worked for that, and I could just pay it back. And but anyway, so she said, this is what it's for. And she says, yes, we'll help you out. So she gave me $10, and I got gas, and then I went on to the bank. And I thought, well, maybe they will just go ahead and cash this check. And then, you know, at Regions, but see, what you have to do when you go in, they take your fingerprint and everything, and then you have to have an ID. Well, I did that, and I said, well, what about the the drive-thru? So I went to the drive-thru, and she says, no, ma'am, we can't. I said, can you this time? And I said, give me through the window. And she says, no, you have to come in because I guess, you know, cameras. I said, okay, I understand. And I had told that to when I was borrowing the money. And I didn't have my ID, so I went ahead and I went to Metropolitan, and I went ahead, and then I found out that my banking account was low. And when I had gone to the bank the other night, when I had my grandkids with me, I was going to get them a Happy Meal because I thought I had money left in the bank. Well, when I went there, it said balance of 200, but I said, why is it not taking it then? And then anyway, so I ran it through again, and bless Elisha, he was upset. Well, Grandma, that's just not fair, them people doing that. You put that card in, you didn't get no money. And he was so taken up for Grandma, and I told him, I said, well, it's got to be my fault. It's got to be something Grandma has not done right or something. I said, well, anyway, they've made a mistake. Something's not right. I made a mistake. Something isn't right. So we went back, and I got that when I went there to Metropolitan, they said, we have to take the old amount. And I said, oh, please don't do this. I said, I have to at least have half of it. I said, I haven't got any money for gas. And she said, well, I don't know. I said, I've had an account with you for years. I said, would you please just check and see, ask your manager, or let me talk to the manager so I can have some money to put gasoline in the car. And I wanted to get something to eat and stuff too. And she said, well, I'll go see. So what they did is they took half of it. And I was explaining to him I got paid the 15th. Well, anyway, so I had the money and I had that the gas. I'm losing my train of thought. Oh, and then so I pushed on my brakes just before I left. And when I did, something went pop. I went, oh, my word, what is that? And so I went on down the hill. When I went down the hill, they just went to the ground, and I said, oh, Lord, and I said, thank you, Lord, because there was no traffic anywhere, and usually it's so busy in Bryan. I went down that hill, and I slowed down as much as I could, and I went on, and I thought, well, I'm going to pull over, and I'm going to have somebody come get me, and I thought, no, Lord, you can help me home. So I went ahead. There was no traffic anywhere. I got to stop at all of the lights. I just eased it and geared it down, and I made it home. And I thought, Lord, I said, I was really scared. It really frightened me a little bit. And then all of a sudden, I just started praying, and the peace of the Lord, God's peace just come up all over me, and I knew He was protecting me. And so I got home, and I sit there, and I thought, now what am I going to do? Here I was fretting over everything. And so I thought, well, I'll drive to work. So I went ahead and I drove to work, and I asked the maintenance guys there because they had fixed my air conditioner once before. And I'd ask them if they would fix my brakes or look at my brakes. No, what it was is I had parked in the parking lot, and I had called my son, and he told me, he says, check the brake fluid. It may be just out of brake fluid. And I said, okay. I said, yeah. He said it could have, you know, the lid could have popped off, and that was probably the popping sound that you heard. And I said, okay. So he explained where it was at. I looked everywhere, and I could not find it anywhere. And I thought, this was Sunday when I was sitting at home trying to figure out how to do it. And I thought, well, I can go ahead and I can drive it on home. And then when to work, and then when I get to work, I'll ask them to show me where to put the brake fluid. And that's what I'd gone down there for. Well, anyway, this John was there, and he says he happened to be the only one there. Jason, which is my boss, he wasn't there, and so he come through. And he just happened to have some brake fluid. And he says, here, we'll put this in there. And we went out, and he asked me to pump the brake. So I did. And the fluid, and it felt like it was coming to the top, and the brakes were coming to the top and everything. And he said, how is that? And I said, that's good. And I backed up, and he says, you got brakes? And I said, yeah. He said, you really got brakes? And I said, yeah, I got brakes. And he said, oh, okay. He said, all right then. And about that time, we walked around, and it had pumped up. And then when I turned off my car, I had brakes. It was a full brake, you know, all the way to the top. So I knew, you know, it was okay, I figured. And then we went around, and when I looked, he looked. He says, well, look here. And there was a hole, and the brake fluid was dripping out. I said, oh, my. And I thought, well, okay. He said, well, give me your keys, and I'll take it around back, and then we'll check it out. So they took it around back, and they was checking it out. And so they fixed them. They took it to a shop or somewhere. But he said it was a good thing that my brakes went out, because there was a gas line that was run to it. And if that would have leaked, and then it would have leaked out and got on my something, he was trying to explain it, the car would have caught on fire. It would have caught on fire. And I said, Lord Jesus, yeah. And I said, thank you, Lord. And I thought, well, okay. So they fixed my brakes, and I asked him if I could pay, you know, to get it, you know, pay them or make a payment. And he said, no, it was okay. And I said, okay. So, yeah, it was all right. Everything was fine. And I just praised the Lord over it, and I thank him for his protection. And I just wanted to give him praise. I love him. And he has been so good, and I don't stand up because I feel like I ramble and I don't give good testimonies, but I just love the Lord, and I'll try and get better. I will. I know I think I will, and I won't, and I've got other things to testify. I don't have to wait till things happen, but this was just so great that I just love the Lord so much, and I thought, Lord, I've got to tell. I've been telling everyone, and I do testify. I just don't stand up in church and testify. I testify to everybody that I come in contact with, basically. We somehow or another, God brings it about for me to be able to testify and explain to them things that the Lord has done for me. And he has done so many things, I can't explain it all. But I love him, and I love serving him, and I do love this church, and I appreciate all of y'all so very much. I love all of y'all so much. Thank you. And thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just love
on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, wondrous of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners, was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And that old rugged cross, stained with blood divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my throne at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged in that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine. A wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my throne at last I lay down. Oh, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, I will cherish the old at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Brother Shane, you want to come up and let's pray for you? Your brother, come. Let's pray. He's in pain, suffering here today. Let's ask God. He felt so bad. He felt he needed to go home, but I felt like we needed to pray for him, see if God would touch him, help him here today. Oh, blessed Lord Jesus. Ah, God, my God, touch Brother Shane today. God, in your mercy and your grace.
So
I'll cherish the old rugged cross until my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for